Today's scripture will come from Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. Now, Israel, hear the decrees and laws I am about to teach you. Follow them so that you may live and you may go and take possession of the land the Lord, the God of your ancestors, is giving you. Do not add to what I command you and do not subtract from it, but keep the commands of the Lord your God that I give you. You saw your eyes that what the Lord did at Baal Peor. The Lord your God destroyed from among you, you everyone who followed the Baal of Peor. But all of you who held fast to the Lord your God are still alive today.
Good to see many of you. Some of you hadn't seen in a long time, and I'm so glad that you're able to come and be here in person this morning. Well, about a year ago when we were sheltering in place, ESPN released a series called The Last Dance. It was a documentary of Michael Jordan and the Chicago Bulls in their 1997-1998 basketball season. And when I was during that time frame, I was a senior in high school, and I was very invested in the NBA, and so I was really excited to watch this documentary to remember some of those memories. And the documentary walks through the season as Michael Jordan tries to go through this quest to win another NBA championship. Well, there was a lot of rumblings at the beginning of the season about how things might be breaking up in the Chicago Bulls. Phil Jackson, the coach, had said, "This is my last year to coach at Chicago," and Michael Jordan had said, "Well, I'm not going to play for any other coach than Phil Jackson." So the implication was that he wouldn't be playing in Chicago after this year. And then there was also uncertainty about Scottie Pippen and Dennis Rodman and some of the other players on the Bulls. And so there was a sense that this is the last time that this team is going to be together. And Phil Jackson, one thing that he would do as a coach is he would choose a theme that would kind of last throughout the whole season. It would be something they would come back to over and over again. Probably had a theme Bible verse to go along with it too, maybe. And the theme that he chose for that year was The Last Dance. And the whole idea behind that theme was that, hey, this might be the last time that as a team we're going to be together. And so let's really give our all and let's pour everything we have into this season. And let's make it really, really good. The Last Dance. Well, I was talking to somebody a couple of weeks ago, and they said, "Steve, you should name your last sermon series The Last Dance." Which I thought, I'm not a dancer. That doesn't fit me at all. But I understood what they were saying, is that this will be my last series here. And so I want to make it good, and I want to make it impactful and pour everything I can into it and all that good stuff. So I asked for your help. I asked for you to submit suggestions on what I should preach this last sermon series. I got about 40 of those suggestions, so I'm gonna be here for 40 more weeks. No, I'm just joking. I only have 7 or 8 weeks here, and so I had to find a way to call all that down, those 40 suggestions, and they were all over the map. Some of you suggested, "Steve, just do whatever you want. It'll be good." Some of you gave different scriptures from the Bible that you've always wanted to hear a lesson on. Some of you gave theological topics that you wanted addressed. There were some of you who raised controversial questions that you wanted me to talk about. Well, there was a couple of you that suggested, why not preach from Deuteronomy? Which I was telling somebody that, and someone said, "You mean people actually suggested Deuteronomy? Who does that?" They said, "Well, you've been preaching through Numbers. Why not Deuteronomy?" Well, a couple of weeks ago, I started studying the book of Deuteronomy, just kind of delving into it, and I realized there actually are a lot of similarities between the context of Deuteronomy and the situation here at Southside. So the book of Deuteronomy is a book on the boundary. The people of Israel are at the plains of Moab, and they're just getting ready to cross over the Jordan River to the land of Canaan. And when they cross over that boundary, there's going to be a lot of change. It's going to be good change, but there's going to be a lot of change. For up to this point, they've been a wandering people through the wilderness. Even before that, they were slaves in Egypt. But once they cross the Jordan River, they're going to be a settled people, and they're going to have their own land, and they're going to possess it. And if when they cross over that land, that Jordan River to the land of Canaan, things are going to be very, very different. And on top of that, the leader, Moses, who's been with them for the past several years, who helped lead them out of Egypt, he's not going to be with them in the land of Canaan. Well, I started thinking about our situation here at Southside, and in many ways, we're kind of a church on the boundary, that pretty soon we're going to be crossing over the Jordan River. We've been wandering through this pandemic wilderness and through this building renovation wilderness, and pretty soon we're going to be able to cross over the Jordan River, and we're going to have this great new future of being able to be back together in person and being able to have this wonderful building to worship in and to minister in and through. But this new land, this new future that Southside has, it's going to be different. Post-COVID is going to be a new normal. And I'm not exactly sure what that new normal is going to be, but it's going to be different than the way things have been in the past. As we get our building fully done and renovated, it's going to affect the church in a good way, but it's going to affect, there's going to be some changes. And then on top of that, I'm not going to be there with you. And I want to be very clear, I'm not trying to compare myself to Moses, okay? Let's just make, we haven't crossed through the Red Sea and dry, okay, but that's not happened. But I have walked with the church here for several years and been with you for quite some time, and I see the future that you're going to be entering, and I'm not going to be there. And the book of Deuteronomy is basically a book of speeches that Moses gives while on the plains of Moab, knowing that Israel's going to a new future and he's not going there. And so here's what he wants to say to the people that he loves to prepare them for this new future. And that's kind of what I want to do as well. Well, so I started reading Deuteronomy. I wanted to read through it. I wanted to know, okay, what did Moses talk about in Deuteronomy? What were the main points that he made? What were the main themes that he had? What were the key things he was trying to get across? And here's what I noticed. As I started categorizing all the things that Moses talks about in Deuteronomy, many of them connected with many of the suggestions you gave me to preach on. And so I felt like, this is a match made in heaven. And so I decided, for my last dance, we're going to look at Moses' last dance, and we're going to study the book of Deuteronomy. And the very first thing that Moses tells the people in Deuteronomy, preparing them for this new future that he's not going to be a part of, is he brings up the law. In Deuteronomy chapter 4 is where I am. The very first speech that Moses gives in the book of Deuteronomy is chapters 1 through 4. And the first three chapters of that speech, Moses is talking about the journey previous. And we talked about that a couple of weeks ago, about remembering the journey, remembering the wilderness, remembering the good parts and remembering the difficult parts. But starting in chapter 4, Moses shifts his speech that he's given. And he shifts it with one word. And in my Bible, the word is actually not there. It's untranslated, but it's in the Hebrew text. And that word is, and now. I want you to say that with me. And now. And in chapter 4, verse 1, I want you to look, if you have your Bibles, I want you to look at the verse. And if it's not there, if that phrase, and now, is not there, I want you to write it in. And now. Or maybe therefore would be another example of that. But it's a conjunction. And it's a moment in the speech where Moses stops. And before he was helping them process their past, and now he turns and he says, okay, let's talk about the future. That before he was talking about, here's what's gone on previously. Now let's turn and let's talk about what's ahead. And now. And the first thing that he says is, hear, O Israel, the decrees and laws I'm about to teach you. That the first thing that he wants the people to know as they get ready to head into this new future is, I want you to focus on the law. The law. The law was the Torah. It was the commands, the teachings that God had given to the people. In fact, if you keep reading in Deuteronomy chapter 4, he reminds them of Mount Sinai, and he reminds them of the Ten Commandments. Remember when we were at that mountain? Remember when the Lord came and he gave us the 10 words, the 10 commandments, and I wrote those things down for you, those decrees, those commandments. I want you to remember those. I want you to focus on those. And the reason why Moses says this is because he knows that when they get into the land of Canaan, there's going to be a lot of other groups of people, and there's going to be a lot of different nations, and they're going to be tempting Israel to worship in various ways and worship various gods and live in various ways. And Moses knows that it's going to be difficult to be faithful, and it's going to be difficult to be a holy community once they get into Canaan. So he says, before you go, focus on the law. Focus on the teachings that God has given. Well, a lot of times when we hear that word law, we kind of think of legalism. We think of the Pharisees. We think of the legalistic traditions that the Pharisees created. But in the Old Testament, that's not what law meant. The word law in Hebrew, Torah, it really means instruction. These are the instructions that God gave the people on how to live, on how to worship him, on how to be faithful. And Moses is saying, don't forget the law. Don't add to it and don't take away from it. But focus on it, listen to it, and obey it. In Deuteronomy, law and life go together. That if you want life, you have to be obedient to the law. If you're disobedient to the law, then there's going to be curse and there's going to be destruction and death. And Moses reminds him of that. In chapter 4, verse 3, he says, you saw with your own eyes what the Lord did at Baal Peor. Baal Peor was a place on their journey in the wilderness when the Moabites were trying to get Israel. And they hired this guy named Balaam. And they said, Balaam, we want you to come up here and we want you to curse Israel. Every time he tried to curse Israel, what would come out was blessing. And so Moab thinks, okay, we're going to have to do a different tactic if we're going to get Israel. And so what they do is they begin to seduce Israel to be disobedient and to go against the law. And it works. And they're disobedient, and God is angered, and there's punishment, and there's death. And Moses is saying, remember what happened there, how you forgot the law at Baal Peor, and you were disobedient. And because you're disobedient, there was death. And so Moses is preparing them as they cross over the Jordan River, that as you go to this new land, this new future, that's going to have a lot of challenges, and there's going to be a lot of people tempting you in many different ways. Focus, number one, focus on the law and obey it and submit to it. And I think that's really good wisdom for us here at Southside. Because as you all cross this Jordan River and you head into this new future, there's going to be some challenges. There's going to be some issues that crop up from time to time. In fact, some of you suggested that I preach on some issues like gender roles in the church and Pharisaic practices in the church and traditions of Church of Christ. Each one of those I could talk on for months. And issues like that are going to come up from time to time. They always do. That we always, if we're going to be connecting with our culture, we're going to have to wrestle with things going on in our culture. We're going to have to, from time to time, look at our traditions and see, are these the things that we need to be doing? That's going to happen in the future. And I'm not going to be there. And so how is that going to happen? How are we going to process those things? I think where we start is with the Word of God. We take with us the Word of God. We start at the Word of God. We evaluate any question, any issue, any tradition with the Word of God. What does the Word say about it? Because we want to be submissive and obedient to it. That impulse of wanting to stay focused on the Word of God, that goes down deep into the DNA of who we are as a church. And I've preached about this before, that our heritage here at Southside is a restoration heritage that goes back to the 19th century when there was this network of churches that sprung up who were dissatisfied with the religious world and just wanted to be Christians, and they just wanted to follow Scripture. And it's because of that heritage that Scripture has always had a strong value here at Southside. We want to know the Word of God. We want to pass it on to our children. We want to pass it on to our grandchildren. That's what's happening in children's worship right now. They're being taught the Word of God. And I hope that that continues and that the Word of God is always central and that whatever comes our way and whatever issue we have to deal with, we're always taking it to the Word of God. What does the Word of God say about this? Now, that doesn't mean we're always going to agree. A church is not simply a place where everybody thinks alike. Church is a place where we're all committed to the same Savior, and we're all committed to one another and walking together to follow Jesus. And that means that from time to time, we're going to disagree about certain things, and we're not always going to see eye to eye, and there could be some tensions along the way. But it also means that what we continually do is that in love, we keep going back to the Word. We keep going back to Scripture, and we keep asking, what is God trying to say to us through His Word? Because we want to be obedient to Him. We want to be submissive to Him. Because when we're obedient to Him, there's life. When we're disobedient to Him, there's death. You know, there was a study done about a few years ago with about 1,500 churches by the Willow Creek Association. And they were trying to figure out, okay, what is the best spiritual catalyst that can move people to have greater spiritual growth? If you want to take a group of people that are in one category and move them forward spiritually to another category, what's the greatest catalyst to doing that? And here's what they found in their study. 1,500 churches they evaluated. And here's what they found. That the greatest spiritual catalyst to helping someone grow spiritually is not more church activities, although I wish it was. It was reading and reflecting on the Word of God. Reading and reflecting on the Word of God. The best times that there have been here at Southside have been when we as a church, together, collectively, are reading and reflecting on the Word of God. It's been times where we have been diving into Scripture and we've been getting a steady diet of Scripture and we've been taking it in and we've been wrestling with it and trying to understand it and trying to be obedient to it. Because when we're doing those kinds of things, church, we grow. We grow. And so as we move into this new future, I hope that you all will take with you this central idea to hear the Word of the Lord. To be obedient to His Word. The Word of God is powerful and effective. It's transformative. And when our hearts are open to what God is saying, God convicts our hearts, and He shapes our minds, and He frames our thinking, and He makes us different people. One of the great blessings about being a preacher is that you get to see front and center the Word of God convict people. And I remember several years ago, I was preaching a series on the Ten Commandments. And we were at the commandment, do not commit adultery. And I was preaching about faithfulness in relationships. We need to be faithful in our relationships and just emphasizing that very strongly. And there was a couple that was attending our church at the time, several years back. And they had been together for quite some time, but they weren't married. They were living together, but they weren't married. And I was hitting that commandment really strong. And we had the invitation, and they came to the front, and they told the elder or whoever received it, they said, we need to get married, and we need to do it today. I mean, they were convicted right then. And they ended up getting married. And it's powerful to see when the Word of God comes into someone's heart, it convicts them, it challenges them, it makes them be different. And when we're letting the Word of God speak into us as a church and as individuals, and we're trying to be obedient to that, God is going to go with us. He's going to bless us. And the first time that I really started to understand the power behind the Word of God was when I was a middle schooler. My family took a short-term mission trip to Ukraine. And we were at night having evangelistic preaching services, and then we were also giving out Bibles that were supplied by Eastern European Mission for free. And some of you have been to Ukraine. You know the excitement about giving out Bibles. And there was just this hunger as people lined up because they wanted a Bible in Russian language, and they were so excited. And so we had a bunch, and we were trying to distribute those the best we could. And I have to admit, I was starting to get a little bit nervous because the crowd was kind of aggressive. And there was a long line, and people were kind of pushing and shoving, and they were trying to get in front because they wanted their Bible. They wanted to make sure they get their Bible in the Russian language. And we were distributing, and pretty soon we ran out. We were out of the Bibles that we had. Well, there was this college student who was helping, who had come with us, who was helping distribute the Bibles. And he had placed his own personal Bible down in one of the boxes. And one of the Ukrainians was so adamant about getting a Bible, he started rummaging through all the boxes, and he found this student's Bible. And he picked it up. It was in English, but he took it up, and he was heading off with this Bible. I elbowed the college student and said, "He's got your Bible." He's like, "Hey, come back here. That's my Bible. You can't have that. Got to find somebody else's Bible." Well, later that evening, we were kind of reminiscing about the night and just how powerful it was to see so many people want a Bible. And the translator walked in, who had been working with us, and she had a little boy who was about 5 years old. And his name was Arthur. And Arthur had his Bible, his brand new Russian Bible, and he was carrying it like this, hugging it really close. And he said, "Arthur, why are you carrying your Bible that way? You don't have to carry it that way." And Arthur said this. He said, "This is the most important book in the whole world, and I don't want anyone to take it away from me." Brothers and sisters, as you cross over the Jordan River into this new future, you might want to take a lot of things with you. You might wish you might have more money. You might wish you might have a bigger building or more staff or whatever the case may be. The most important thing that you can take with you into the future is this book right here, the Word of God. Let's pray together. Almighty God, we understand that your Word is truth. And as we move into a new future, Lord, help us to remember that we need to rely on your Word. We need to depend on your Word. We need to be obedient to your Word. And as things arise and as various things come our way, help us just always keep going back to the Word of God. Lord, convict us right now, because there could be some of us here that we haven't been reading and reflecting on the Word of God. We've let that pass. Bring us back to your Word and teach us and train us and equip us for your work. We pray in the name of Jesus, and we all say together, amen. We're going to have our time of invitation, and if God has convicted you that you need to be more in his Word, you need to be following him, or maybe you're ready to be baptized into Christ, we want to help you. We're going to have elders and ministers up front. Please come now. We'll pray with you. We'll encourage you. Please come now as together we stand and sing.